Talking about the Lord, I am feeling so much better.
We're talking about this good old way.
I'm feeling so much better.
Talking about the Lord.
Giver of Life, it's Kia G. Oh, okay.
We're ready.
We're ready.
Yeah.
Praise Him. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God's telling me to sing a song, and Amen. It reminds me of school, and He's helped me during school.
Amen. Sing.
So I'll stay in the fight and look to the one who says, hold on just a little bit longer, I know it's gonna be okay. These days are gonna make you stronger, you'll find purpose in the pain. Hold on just a little bit longer, deep down there's a well of faith. Let hope arise as you're lifting up my name. Just hold on. Hold on. Your promise, it still stands, chasing after me. The rainbow through storm clouds, how I'm gonna see. But I know there's a light that's waiting up ahead. So I'll stay in the fight and look to the one who says, hold on just a little bit longer, I know it's gonna be okay. These days are gonna make you stronger, you find purpose in the pain. Hold on just a little bit longer, deep down there's a well of faith. Let hope arise as you're lifting up my name. Just hold on. Wait till you see what's at the end of the road. A new life is ready to unfold. Hold on just a little bit longer, I know it's gonna be okay. These days are gonna make you stronger, you'll find purpose in the pain. Hold on just a little bit longer, deep down there's a well of faith. Let hope arise as you're lifting up my name. Just hold on. Hold on. Just hold on. Hold on. Just hold on.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
You better get up. They're going to all jump ahead. And, I'll still get there. Push them out.
Yeah, he'll learn.
Oh, my.
Amen. It's real, brother.
Come on.
Yeah. Amen. I don't know what this is. Real. I'll tell you what. I don't care what happened this week. I don't care what.
Right.
Oh, no. Doesn't matter.
You walk through that spirit
Come on.
Yeah.
No
matter what level person is, you have a different problem.
Yeah.
Problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was saying today, you know what? I love how God handles us.
Hey.
I love how God handles us. Have you received revelation?
Yes. Amen. Sounds.
I have.
Amen.
I had that little room experience.
Oh, yeah.
I sit there and see my son. My son's sitting there.
Yeah.
We got here 30 minutes early like I was instructed. He's sitting there. Mm-hmm. He's sitting there. And he wants to get up. And he's like, oh. Because he knows where God's at.
Come on!
Learn it.
I know where God's at.
Oh, yeah.
I got so excited about listening to the Sunday service.
Oh, my.
Talking about the steak. I got excited about that. You know, we're not a hamburger. Uh-uh. So we've already established we're all steak.
Yeah.
We made the analogy of Longhorn and say that.
Amen.
Yeah. I thank God I have a cook that knows how to handle steak.
Yeah.
What a steak.
Right. Right.
What a steak. You can make it. Yes, you can. Leather. But God has so installed me from the foundation.
Amen.
He took my mistakes.
Yes.
My shortcomings are strengths.
Right.
Everything. There's nothing wrong with
strength. Strength and weakness.
You come in and you get up and you can hold your shoulders back.
Amen.
All right. You can say, look at me. You see God.
Amen.
You say, I'm the last voice, the last age.
Amen.
You're speaking promises.
Right. That's right.
Those promises are my promises.
Amen.
Amen. So many
oh, my goodness.
You know, eventually, yes. Talks about Brother Frank about building those corners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, eventually, there has to be enough where there's a roof.
Right,
and
right.
And then the construction's done. The home's built.
Sure.
Right. Yeah.
Eventually, we're going to turn one more corner, yeah. Put the capstone on it, and there's going to be a
rapture. Right. Amen.
I love what they even said is because you won't even know the rapture until it's already done.
That's right.
So I just have faith.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have faith. Right now, I have to have faith.
Amen.
Good.
Choice fair.
Spiritually built on this.
Yes.
I felt led. My daughter's been saying that she wants to get up and say something.
All right.
And Michelle, I want you to come up here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you do a push.
Amen. All right.
Amen.
Amen.
I need to sit behind her. I want her to
say God for a push.
What God's done for her.
Amen.
Amen. All
right. Come on. Amen.
Well, okay.
She has been through a lot. She has. God has kept her from a little tiny child.
Amen.
She's raised her.
Yes.
She's kept her underneath the protection of this house.
Amen.
And she's sitting here reading this message.
Amen.
Amen.
She was so touched by it that she was like, I want to be baptized.
Yeah. Right.
Outward expression.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Amen. Come on. Oh, my. Yes. Amen.
Bless the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Get in there. Amen.
And that's.
Do you mind if we played a song?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think I might just burn for a minute before we sing, though, if that's okay.
Get in there.
I had a strange day at work yesterday. It's one of those days where I got to shut myself in my blood gas room and shut the door and kick my feet up and just scroll. And I was scrolling and I came across this guy I've come across before. And his name is Kenneth Copeland.
Yeah.
I think you heard of him as like a telepreacher.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm going to sit down and listen to what this guy's saying. It was a TMZ interview or something like that. And the guy was sitting there just twisting scripture to answer this girl's questions to his needs.
Right.
You know, he's got millions and millions of dollars, private jets, just twisting the scripture. And I thought back to Luke 8 that you read Sunday. And there was a part of that that stood out to me more than the rest of it, and it was the part directly before he explained the parable where he said, those who have ears to hear, though he had that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Yeah. And I thought, you know, it's good to be one of them that can recognize God's voice. You know, to actually recognize God's voice. And you can tell when it's not God, too.
Amen.
You know, so it's just a nice reminder to know that you're one of them when you can hear God's voice.
Amen.
So I think this is in G, right?
Yeah.
I've been held by the Savior. I felt fire from above. I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, a prodigal return.
I'm thankful for truth, because you don't find truth out here
anywhere.
The best they can do is law. The best they can do is try to earn it, you know. But I read where Jesus came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So if there's any condemnation, it's not coming from Jesus. Not from him. not at all. You know, it's good to know. It's good to have a revelation on these things, how these things fit together. You know, I know how predestination works. You know, I don't have to sit there and say, well, if I'm predestinated, I'll be there. You know, I know I'm predestinated. I know I'll be there because I'm here. I'm right where the Word's at. You know, he reveals himself to me. He talks to me all along the way. And, you know, I sit there and look where he's brought me. You know, not so much where he's brought me from, you know, because that sounds like just terrible. He brought me from unbelief is what he brought me from. I don't care what my background was. I might have been a goody two-shoes, as Brother Moore calls me. Or I might have been a pure devil in and out of the bars and prison and everything else. It don't really matter. He's brought us all from unbelief. And that's the deliverance that we have, that we can rejoice in. You know, and it takes a revelation to even see that. I remember when I was back young in denominational church, and they said, well, aren't you sorry for your sins? I don't even know what you're talking about. They didn't even know what sin was, you know. And they're trying to make out, well, this is not right, and that's not right, and everything. But sin is unbelief. Sin is just not knowing the truth. And unless God begins to reveal to you the truth, you don't know what the truth is. You can't even repent. We talk about repenting, you know, and I was talking to Brother Moore the other day, and I said, repenting is just recognize your day in this message. That's the only way you possibly can repent.
That's it.
You know, that's the only way you can turn around is to recognize where you were facing and know that that was wrong and recognize where to face to. And to turn around. So I'm thankful that there's simple things like this. You know, I've seen a lot of people, and it's just law. They're just, you know, God's going to get me if I don't do this or if I don't live good enough. You know? And the church down the road talked to him and said, well, you believe you're saved by grace and kept by works? And well, yeah. And so I thought, okay, good luck with that. If it's not good enough to save you, it certainly ain't good enough to keep you. The same thing that saves you better be keeping you too.
Amen.
So I'm thankful that is, and that's nothing but pure, unadulterated, undeserved, unmerited grace that he's revealed himself to me at all. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing to me because I can't get it out because he's spoken these things to me in secret, you know. And those things in secret, it's hard to, you know, Brother Childers, you don't talk about what happens in that seventh room. You know, that's just between you and him. And that secret chamber where you go to, you know, none other has ever seen. You know, I mean, everybody's got their own secret chamber, you know, and knows God. But when I'm talking about where I'm with him, you know, that's something that just words could never express. And I look at how long he's brought me. He could have waited till I was 60. Could have waited till I was 66 before he began to deal with me. But he began to deal with me when I was 21. 20, really. And I think, Lord, you've been so good to me. And for me to be quiet, you know, and I sit here, and you know, you want to give time for people that, you know, getting a feel of this, wanting to get up and everything, but I ain't going to give you too much time. And some of you older ones, that don't give them too much time. They'll pass you up.
That's right.
We got something to say. We've been around very long. You know, Brother Childers said in front, Brother Childers, Brother Branham both, you know, I'm sure Brother Moore agrees, you know, the front part of the service should be conducted by the elders, you know. That's why I love to see Brother John get up. I love to see Brother Ted get up. I love to see these ones that have been around for a while. Got some miles under their belt, you know. Not only what you say, it's not in the years, it's in the yielding. But what if you got years and yielding together? Then you got something. Then you got something, you know, pay attention. I was talking to my fellow that works with me, you know, he's a young guy, he's 27. And he'll sit there, and he's on that phone all the time. Even when he's talking to me, he's on that phone. You know, back in my old fogey generation, that was disrespectful. But now it's common. It's common. Common disrespect, yeah, is really what it is. But, you know, if anything's worth listening to, if anything's worth, you know, giving everything to, then give everything to it. You know, if you get a phone call, fine. You excuse me? I'll go talk on the phone, you know. Give that my full attention. But then I come back and give you my full attention. You know, and I want to do that. When I'm here, I want to give God my full attention. You know, I'm here to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. And that is so every time I come together. You know, it's amazing because you think about a child, how they're, you know, you turn around and You haven't seen them for a while. They've grown, but, I mean, look at yourself. You know, you're with yourself every day. You maybe not notice a change, but, you know, when you look back maybe where you were a year ago, or 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you know, however far you want to go back, the Lord has dealt with me. And everything he's revealed to me has made me more solid, more at rest, more at peace, more leveled down, you know, that wagon gets loaded. You know, it's not loaded with burdens and cares. It's loaded with revelation. That's what settles you down. You know, it's not something, you know, dreadful. It's something glorious. And I appreciate this so much, you know. And even though I could never put it into words, I appreciate what God has done for me, how he's revealed himself to me. And more I look out here at the disrespect and the just downright stupidity of the world. You know, I was reading something this morning, like 67,000 people died of fentanyl overdose last year. You know, I think, what are these people thinking? You know, what? Who in the world would ever want to get mixed up with something like that? And but yet they do. And there's just nothing to hold them, nothing to teach. Teaching's gone. You know, leadership is gone. But I'm so thankful, and it makes you more thankful for this. It makes you more humble for this, because when I think back far enough, and I think, I could have went that route pretty easy, you know. No clue, no direction, you know. But thankful for everything that God has revealed to me, every step he's brought me, and I praise him for it. I praise him for my love for the truth. I truly do love the Word of God. I can be out here just my mind everywhere. It goes everywhere. It's my mind, you know, it does that. And whether it's work, whether it's beyond, whether it's things it shouldn't be on, it's the mind. It does that, you know. But when I come back and I hear the Word preached, that's plucking my string. That's the thing that means everything to me. Amen.
Amen.
You just think on that one thing, right? And that just takes everything out of sanctity.
Yeah. He's got nothing left.
You know, when you think about how God talks to you, you know, I've just been thinking these last couple days, God talks to us each a little different. Yeah.
That's right.
You know,
yes.
I'm just thinking, I'm thinking about my brothers and my sisters, and I'm thinking, you know, how God talks to them, I don't know.
No.
But I know how he talks to me.
I know how he talks to me.
You know, and it's just a beautiful thing. And like you say, you can get your mind on all kinds of you know, your mind will drift, but some way, somehow, God always brings it back.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Revelation. You know, I look back, you know, you talk about where you came from. We sang that song about being in a prison.
Right.
You know, I was in a prison.
Oh, yes.
You know, I fully agreed to doctrines.
Come on.
Man, and never thought I was good enough. Never thought I was right.
Right.
You know, and I came to this message, and, you know, for a long time,
Oh my
goodness. Hard
but
to get away from.
Paul and preach and doctrine on what the truth was.
Right.
And then one day, God just, all that fell away.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And I saw who I was.
Yeah.
And I saw what my role was. I just thank God for that.
Oh my goodness.
In reading the Bible, we've been, you know, trying to dwell in the scriptures in the morning, on and on.
Amen.
You know, it's a beautiful thing to have a wife that's a believer.
Yes.
That take away from when God talks to you.
Amen.
Come on.
Still a glorious.
Amen.
Mm. Anyhow, personally, I never realized how much the Bible talks about false doctrine.
Right? Yeah.
It talks about false doctrine almost as much as it does the truth.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, and I thought, that devil,
yeah,
he started right then.
Sure.
And what does he do? It's the Christians.
Yeah.
Right.
It's the
That's
Christians.
Who he's at.
Yeah.
I look at that and I say, Lord, it's the church.
It's the church.
It's
always been the church.
And I thank God for balance.
Yes.
And our young people, you know, you do need to stand together.
Amen.
And be friends.
Yes.
Hold each other.
Yeah.
And know that you're going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
But just remember, sin is unbelief.
That's right.
No matter what mistakes you make, don't let Satan hold you down.
No.
Right. Don't let Satan
don't let get you down.
Right. But sin is unbelief. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
That's right.
And that's what Satan brought in.
Right.
He brought in carnality in the garden.
That's right.
Come on.
Yes.
You know, those little nuggets, I thought of that for a while. Carnality.
Amen.
Carnality
me too.
Was introduced in the garden.
Yes, it was.
You know, and amen. Don't forget that unbelief is what the sin is.
Yes.
All
yes.
this other stuff is just after
me. That's right.
God can deal with all that.
Amen.
But unbelief, that'll take you down.
Yeah.
That'll
yeah.
mess you up.
Oh, my.
And that's the one thing God is against.
Amen.
Only believe.
Right. Only believe. Yes, Lord.
The announcement side of the way. September 9th will be the Fox Hollow Rodeo. Oh. September 10th will be the Church Pictures, and then September 17th will be the First Crochet class here at 6 p.m., and then the bonfire will be September 29th at 6:30 at my house. Yeah.
Yeah.
September 9th. What time is that?
6:30. I think
the rodeo starts at 6 p.m. at Fox Hollow.
Six.
And those that want to meet us there, that's fine, but we're going to leave the church here at 5 that want to drive together.
Okay. Amen.
September 9th, which is next, not this Saturday, the fall.
Yeah. All right, and we'll sing Giver of Life. It's page 33, key of Jesus.
Giver of life, breathe on my soul today. Let your spoken word cast out all sin. Revive this piece of clay. Restore to me the joy that you have given. Place my mind on things you've established in heaven. Let me worship you. Spirit and in truth, in spirit and in truth. Giver of life, breathe on my soul today. Let your spoken word cast out all sin. Revive this piece of clay. Restore to me the joys that you have given. Place my mind on things you've established in heaven. Let me worship you in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. Giver of life, breathe on my soul.
Revive this piece of clay. Restore to me the joy that you have given. Place my mind on things you've established in heaven. Let me worship you in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. Oh, yes, giver of life. Spoken word cast out all fear. Revive this piece of clay. Restore to me the joy that you have given. Place my mind on things you've established in heaven. Let me worship you, spirit and truth. Spirit and in truth. Amen. You may be seated. Good to be back in the house of the Lord this evening. I'm so glad I don't stay home.
Amen.
Because you never know what God's going to do. And I'm glad it's that way. If it were cookie cut and dried and we had it all figured out, I wouldn't want it. I like a God that you can't figure out. He's past finding out.
Amen.
He's gonna keep you guessing. When you think he's not gonna come, he'll show up. When you think he's gonna come, he won't come. When you think you left him on the shore, he'll walk on the water. You ain't gonna figure him out. He's gonna do what he wants, when he wants, where he wants, and how he wants, and through whoever he wants. That's what I love about a many-membered body. God can use somebody that's brand new. Somebody can he can use somebody that's old. I ain't looking over there, Don. He can use anybody he wants. He can use the young people. He can use the brothers. He can use us. That's what he's always wanted. He's you know, God's been trying to do this for 6,000 years. He's been trying to get here. Do you realize he's never going to transform again?
No.
He was an Elohim.
Come on.
Way up there, he was Elohim. Self-existing one. Wasn't enough. He was alone. So he put himself in a pillar of fire. And he expressed himself in that pillar of fire. That wasn't enough. He said, I got to come down a little lower. Then he come down to Melchizedek. Walked around a little bit in Melchizedek, shook it up a little bit, said, you know, this feels pretty good. But you know what? This ain't all I want. I want more than this. Then he come in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm born without sin. I come here perfect. But even in his perfection, he's like, there's got to be more. So he moved one more time.
That's right.
He moved in a no good rascal called man. A man that was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come here speaking lies. None at it. Matter of fact, when God looked in that trunk and he looked at what he wanted to keep, he threw this out, he threw that out. He said, I don't want that flesh, I don't want that spirit, and I don't want that soul.
That's right.
I'm going to put a new soul in there.
Amen.
I'm going to transfer and change that spirit, and I'm going to give him a new house.
Amen.
But you know what? When he does that, that's all he's ever wanted. He'll take us back and enjoy us. This is what he's wanted all along, to be able to move and live and breathe with you. So when you go to work, he's going to work. When you bind, he binds. When you loose, he looses. When you get up and you ask for prayer for something, God says, I can take care of that. When you need something, God says, oh, yeah, I can do that too. And he loves it when he talks about himself. He loves, like Brother Schill said, I love to hear a man who knows what he's talking about. Well, that's the way God is. God loves to talk about himself. He couldn't swear on anything better. And he loves talking about himself. He's so conceited. He don't want to hear nothing but about him. Whenever we come to the house of God, talk about me. So that's what we come to do tonight. We come to fellowship around the Word of God, because he is John 1 and 1. He's the Word. So when we come and we speak the Word, that brings him on the scene. And then when he gets on the scene, then he can come and do whatever he wants. He's in the building now, and he can do whatever he wants. He can talk, he can sing, he can testify. He can shout, he can walk around, he can do whatever he wants, because he's God.
Amen.
And besides him, there is no other.
Amen.
So we got God in the house.
Yes.
Good to be back. Good to have. He said, where two and three are gathered in my name, we got enough. So God's in the house. Amen. Good to see Brother Parnell back there.
Amen.
So we got a treat tonight.
Yes.
We got two brothers going to get up. One of them look like a doctor. Brother Warren, I told him, I said, I'm going to get Brother Warren up first. And then when Brother Warren finishes, he's going to give it to Brother Isaiah.
Amen.
And they can tear the house down.
Tear the house.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Warren. Stick that in your pocket. Need some help with that? Sir.
Thank you. Tell you, that devil's a liar. I'm going to black his eye tonight. Boy, I tell you, it's been a crazy week for me. We've had our systems go down Monday, Tuesday, today. It's been crazy. But that just made me more resolved to just come here and just tell the truth from my standpoint. You know? And, well, And I just been battling him, but you know what? I just thank God that I'm here.
Amen.
You know, because not only were there things at work, but you know, that devil likes to play with your mind.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And oh my goodness. He's a liar. That's why I say he's a liar. And I'm here standing in front of you because I trust that me being an empty vessel for God, he's going to say something tonight that's going to edify the body. That's the only reason why I'm up here. When I volunteered, I just said, Lord, you know, I don't know what you want me to say, but I know you're going to use me because I said, here am I, Lord, use me, you know. So and Lord willing, I want to do this more often. So, you know, if that's, who knows what, you know, where this goes. All right. So having said that, I just want to get started. I've got a couple verses that I'd like to touch on. First one is in Exodus. It's 20:3-6. And by the way, just so that you know, I'm taking my thought from one of the things that Brother Moore had mentioned Sunday, and that was seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You know, so I just want to touch on that and just edify. So with that said, let me get started. So that was Exodus 20:3-6. Here we go. All right. Verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth.
Amen.
Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me.
Wow.
Okay. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. That's where I identify with this. All right. And the other scripture that I want to read is going to be in Matthew. It's 13:44-46. And this is the good part here, that this is how I see the word. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof go and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And so, you know, when I was trying to come up with a title for this, I went from selling out to God. Then I said, okay, well, maybe it's just, I was vacillating between two or three different titles, and I just couldn't make up my mind. I said, you know what, Lord, I'm just going to keep it simple. Brother Moore said, keep it simple. So I said, we'll just make this a continuation of seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Yes.
So that way it just took that that stress out.
Amen.
All right, so, and having said that, I'm going to recall something that Sister Spears used to say a long time ago, and that was she was encouraging us to press.
Yeah.
We have to press our way, you know, into this thing. You know, this isn't a one-time, action. Well, in what I mean is that it's not something where, you know, you get it, and then you want to sit on God. No, you don't want to do that. You want to just keep burning for him, like Sister Spears mentioned. You know, it just shows that, you know, you just want to do something to serve God, to show that you appreciate him for all the goodness that he's done for you. You know, yeah, we go through trials. You know, we have our temptations. We go through things, but still, we know that we're you know, in the end, we win. You know, so we have to go through things, but you know, I'm not going to be defeated because I have something that I know I got in my back pocket that I can just thank God for. That I've got rest and assurance that God's got it. And that's what I tell Sister Crystal all the time when she tells me that she's got a concern about something. I just say, you know, we can rest. You know, God's got it. You know, he'll see us through it. You know, I don't know how long it's going to take to get through a certain situation, but you know what? God's got it. That's the ultimate prize as far as I'm concerned. I would be just so remiss if I didn't give God the glory for that. Because I already know, I already know that in the end, I'm going to be one of those that's going to be judging the world, amen. You know? So I, you know, that means I'm an overcomer. Amen. So if we're overcomers, we've got this thing licked. And like Brother Childers used to say, you know, we could do this standing on our heads. You know, there are times when you may not feel like it, but guess what? It's still true. We can handle this. You know, there's nothing out there. Even those 200 million extra demons that are out here, that, you know, that's been set aside for just this last days. There's nothing that we can do that they can overcome us. God's got it. You know, and so I just thank God, knowing all that, so it helps me to go through and overcome all these little battles that we deal with every time. Well, you know what? God's got it. And and if you stop and think, there are a couple of Old Testament examples where, like Daniel, Job, the three Hebrew boys, and even David, they were up against, let's say, some very challenging odds, if you can say that. And in some case, well, in all cases, their life depended upon God being able to deliver. But, you know, they had the confidence and the faith that God would be there for them in their circumstances. And so, you know, it. I just thank God that you know, those examples in there that God wanted them to be used as an example for us here so that we can, you know, use that as a way to overcome. So, it didn't look good for them. Their lives were in danger, and, you know, but yet they still stood on the promises, and they still believed that God would deliver, even if it meant death. But still, in the end, they would be overcomers. And the same thing with us. You know, and Brother Moore, you said something Sunday that got me. It answered a question that I had that I think about every now and then. And it was when God placed that seed in the bride for this age. It's different than the seed that was dropped in the bride from a different age. Amen. And one of the things that I often wondered about was whether or not I would be able to handle being martyred, right. You know, knowing what I know. And I kind of wondered about that, but you answered that. Yeah. That we weren't built for that age. So, you know, I still thank God for, you know, my belief and, you know, what God's done for me. Amen. And you know, what I've been specially built for. I'm getting off topic, but But that's all God. You know, God wanted me to go that direction. I'll go that direction. I want to get to the point where I don't even use my notes. I think it's just a hindrance. As soon as I said that, I'm so nervous up here. I do want to read something. This is from Brother Branham's book. It's called Forsaking All. And this is part of what I was trying to say. It goes, but that's exactly what God requires. Forsake all and follow Him.
Yes.
That's God's requirement.
Amen.
We've got to do it too. Sometimes we got to forsake our very thoughts. If our thoughts about anything is contrary to God's word,
right.
We've got to forsake our own thinking,
yes,
and follow Him.
Amen.
And the only way we can follow Him is to follow His word.
That's right.
Obey it.
Amen.
And God's request and God's requirement is that we all forsake all and follow Him.
Amen.
Okay, thank God. I said I was not going to use this. You know, Paul said we have to die daily.
Right.
You know, that's all of us. We've got to die to our thinking.
Yes, sir.
We've got to, and we've got to be willing to lay it down. You know, we can't hold on to anything and take part God's word and keep our thinking. That's an abomination. We don't want to do that. We just want to take His word wholly.
Yes.
We also want to lay our thinking down. Every time we hear something new that comes across this pulpit that strikes us, it's time to lay your thinking down.
Amen.
and get with God. Because
Amen.
Outside of that, well, it's going to be tough. You might have to learn that lesson again. It might be hard, but eventually you're going to learn it.
Oh, yeah, right.
So...
Yes.
That's all I have tonight. Lord willing, we'll be back. God bless you.
Bless you guys this evening. Ooh. Here we go again. But I'm really excited, and I'm just listening to the testimonies come across, and it's like I knew God was going to do this to me. See, when you come here expecting something, you're going to get what you expect. And don't forget to put something in, because you can't pull nothing out unless you put in a deposit. I'm so humbled to be before you all today, this evening, and I just want you guys to know that I really love all of you. You know, as I was sitting here, as we're getting ready for the service, you know, I just thought about each and every one of you. You guys are so precious. Every one of you guys. I'm around and surrounded by such a great, great, great group of believers. And I'm just really wanting to just get out of the way completely. Just, Lord, just take whatever you want. Just have me. Have your way with me. You know, because I want to bless the body. I want to just let God have it. So I am really enthused. And you guys just got it, like, for Brother Moore and Jeremiah and Jay, you guys got to make me one promise before I give you my title and start reading. You just got to promise you're not going to shut me up, because I know you're going to want to preach. Because I've been sitting on this, and it's been on simmer since Monday. And, you know, I thought I was in over my head, but, man, this thing is in my soul. It's written on the tablet of my heart. I love this word so much, and it's done everything. It's mended relationships. It's given me a sound mind. It's helped me drop my thinking and get out of the way and do things that are supernatural, that are just so unusual to the rest of the world, but it's not strange to us. He's worthy. He's so worthy. And so I just wanted to... bring up Brother Skyler, because he wasn't feeling good. And so I just want you guys to think about him and just bring him before your Lord and keep him in your thoughts. He had a little bit of a messed up throat and stuff, and it's been going around. You know, Satan's always trying to do something, but we're doing something too. So So before I get started here, I wanted to just kind of go over a couple of things that, you know, and how I came to get this here. And, you know, I was sitting with John, and we've been working together the last couple of weeks and stuff, and it just seems like, I don't know when it started happening, but for the last couple of weeks, I have, like, been going through so many different types of calamities and overcoming, like, big time. And like Brother Jay said, he said, you should be having something new hit you. Something new. Like, don't keep getting stumbled over the same old stuff. Keep moving forward. The only reason why you keep stumbling over the same stuff is because you're not moving forward. You have to stay with the light. And the testimonies, I'm standing over here like, oh my gosh, you guys are, Brother Seth, oh my goodness, you guys are all up in my testimony. His daughter, all up in my testimony, all up in my message. I'm like, oh my goodness, you guys. And you know, I love what Brother Warren said about anything contrary to the word, you know. You know, and the circumstances sometimes can be so stifling that, you know, you forget who you are. And that's why we come here, because we need to be reminded.
Amen.
And I'm going to talk about how, you know, a couple of people got reminded about who they are and what they stand for. So I'm going to ask if you guys could turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Pastor already knows. Already, I smell. And we're going to go to Luke 24, and we're going to start at verse 13. God bless you this evening. All right. So, and it's quite a bit of reading, so just bear with me, and I'm just going to read right through this. We got Luke 24, 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 60 furlongs. And they talked together all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near, and he went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And they said unto him, he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known these things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And, oh my. And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mightily indeed, and word before God and all people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found him, and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and then enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, of course, and all the prophets he expounded unto them in all the scriptures things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it and broke and gave to them, and their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. The title of my message this evening, and you know, I wanted to use Brother Branham's, but you know what? Pastor said, it's good to go into the Old Testament, good to go into the gospel and stuff, into the New Testament, but you got to bring it up here. Because if you don't bring it up here, I can't eat. Because I'm a part of this too. So the title of my message is, when our eyes were open, we knew them. We knew him.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
And so I wanted to go back and break this down because there was a lot of meat in here. There's just so much going on here because this is taking place like after the crucifixion. Yeah. So it's about 3 days after, and you know, a lot of, we've been talking about three different things that I've kind of noticed in the last couple of services. One, we were talking about the three pools. Two, we're talking about how important it is to have a revelation, that you can never overemphasize it because faith is a revelation. You must have it. It's impossible to please God without faith.
Amen.
And then we talked about the seed and how that operates and how the life is in the seed, and all you have to do is get it in the right conditions, in the right environment, and the life in it, you can't stop it. So I wanted to hit on each of those points, and with God's help this evening, I'll be able to do that. And so what I wanted to start with first is just kind of going back through the scripture here and just breaking it down here and talking about these two guys. Now, you know, just look at your own life, you know. Whenever, you know, I'll use me and John, if you don't mind, John, because so, we're together most of the time. So, and so, you know, sometimes you can, you know, go about your day and start talking outside of the promises of God.
Right.
And that's what was happening here. So these two men that were talking, and, you know, they were talking, you know, God knows what they were talking about because it didn't line up with his word. Because when he came in and he talked to them, he said, what manner of communication is this? You know, what are you guys talking about? You know, and it's funny how we've been talking about how all you have to do is just talk about Jesus and he's here.
Yeah.
He is in this place tonight, you know. And so and it says he says here. Well, let's see here. Where am I? And they were he said, but their eyes were holding that they should not know him. It's not that they didn't know him, okay? They just went through witnessing something that was unusual. No one had ever been crucified. They loved him so much. Just picture it. Look at Jay. If we had lost Jay, how do you think we would feel? How do you think that would make us feel? We would be kind of bewildered about it. You know, thorns and thistles. When you're talking about the seed, that's what choked them up. They were stuck on the situation. At the chain of circumstances, so much so that they forgot who they were dealing with. They forgot what Jesus was talking about the whole entire time. You know, it's funny how I've sat here in 10 years, and only in the last 2 years I really started paying attention. Sometimes that happens, you know, and it happened to these two men here because Jesus walked with these guys. He knew who they were, and he spoke with them, and he said his promises. And he preached to them, and they knew what he was talking about. But when calamity happens,
amen,
when situations happen,
right,
when we get stifled upon all these circumstances and these things that hit us, we forget.
Amen.
And that's why we come here, because we need a reminder.
Yeah.
And tonight, amen, I'm hoping to give you a reminder, just another reminder,
amen,
and of how good Jesus is, because
right,
he's been so good to us, so good to us. Look at our kids. Look at them just stepping out. And it's because we're stepping out. You're only as strong as your weakest link. And there ain't no weak links in here. Not that I've seen. Little kids getting up, singing, getting out the way. My goodness. I was full when I came in here, but I was overflowing after all the testimonies. I'm like, Pastor, get out of the way. Just, brother, get out of the way. No. But, I mean, you know, you got to have respect in here. So as we're going down here, they were talking about all of the events that had happened. So they were still in disbelief when Mary went, and then she saw that she ran into those two angels, and she came back to try to tell them, but they still didn't believe it. You know, so what I wanted to do was I wanted to go to a Brother Branham quote here, because I thought this was really good. Because, you know, when, you know, you ever hear people talk, like when they lose a loved one, and they're like, you know, man, you just can't replace a Harry. Harry's a good man. You know, you can't replace him. He's irreplaceable. Well, Jesus wasn't something that you could be replaced. And Brother Branham said that. See, replacement is not resurrection. Okay? And I wanted to share this here. He said, now we're speaking, of course, of the resurrection, which is believed among all Christian believers today. It's the hope of the church. If Christ did not rise, then we are lost. And Christianity is based upon the resurrection now, not replacement, resurrection. And, you know, that resurrection, Jesus Christ, I mean, Brother Moore said Jesus was the centerpiece of the entire book. Everything. He was the main theme of the book. He was the hero, you know. And so Brother Branham said, for instance, this motel key here, if I drop that on the floor and said, well, I dropped it, I'll replace it with another one like it here. That isn't resurrection. That's replacement. See, resurrection is bringing up the same thing that went down and God raised him up on the third day. And we believe that with all of our hearts. And we believe that Bible story. I believe it. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here right now. You know, only believe. That's all you have to do. And see, he's the one who reveals. See, and what had happened here is he revealed himself. See, when you start talking about Jesus, he'll be there. He said, well, there's two or more. And there was two right here. There's more than two in here. And he's in this place. Amen. He's here talking. Amen. He's doing the greater works. It's not us. We just have to get out of the way. Amen. You know, it's like that wife. Why would you want to take all the bill paying and all the other extra stuff and work and do all this other stuff? Let your husband do what he's supposed to do. It's so easy to just stand aside and say, you know what? This is out of my jurisdiction here. I'm way out of my lane. Let me just let my husband handle that, and we can have peace here. And you know what that husband's going to do? He's going to be like, okay, honey, I'll take care of that. And he'll do it like it's no thing. She'll stress out over it all day. And so it's just good to get out of the way, because see, what they did here was they reasoned. Reason, you can't reason God's word. You can't reason with God's word. And reason is what makes the word of God of none effect. See, tradition is not just the churches, the denominations. Tradition is whatever you say or think that's contrary to the word of God. You make a tradition, and it could be anything. It doesn't have to be, you know, your top 10. It could just be something that is keeping you from manifesting something that's impossible. That's right. Because God's in the impossible, and that's where he's always stayed. And everything's under the blood anyway, you know? So why are we worried, you know? Why is it that when all these things happen, as believers, we should know that God's only doing this to prove himself, amen, to reveal himself? Amen. So we want God to come in and take over and have preeminence, but then when he starts moving and doing things, it's a chaotic mess in our eyes, because we're not used to God moving in our lives that way. We're used to having our own little, you know, little box here, and I'm going to do things my way. I'm going to get my little pamphlet, and yes, this is what we're doing for church today. And no, God is sovereign. He wants to have his way in the people. He wants to have his way in the body, and that's what we're going to give him. Because you know what? It's a harmonious thing when we can all be in one mind, one accord, and have a oneness. That's what he's always wanted, like Pastor said, you know? So I had another quote here talking about the blood here. Brother Branham said, God has got one place that's under the blood. That's the only way under the blood he'll meet man. And they're bloodborne brothers. And so I just looked at that and I was like, man, Lord, you're just revealing so much here. You know, and I wrote this thing down here and it says, the manifestation of what Jesus came to do happened right before their eyes because that was his job. Now you got to look at it. What's our job? You know, we're here for one thing. Amen. And that's to raise the dead. Amen. That's it. And everything else that we do from the time we get a new birth till the body change, it's just extra icing on the cake. Just enjoy it. Enjoy your life. You know, this week, even though I had all these calamities and, you know, I woke up on Monday like without, you know, like a chicken without a head, I prayed. I stopped. I said, I can't take this no more. No. I had Sister Beth and John with me in my driveway. And I said, you know what? Let's pray. And we started the day off before we even got in our cars. We started the day off acknowledging the Lord and telling them to go before us. And Lord, we believe your word. We don't want to be caught like these two guys, not recognizing him. One, he's right there in our face, in the midst, just missing him completely. All because why? Circumstances. I don't want to let circumstances rule over me anymore. Because this word is too much bigger than that. The glory that lies within us, it's not even worthy compared to that. It doesn't even stand a chance. And so, you know, I could go on and on, but I just wanted to stop right there. Because I feel like I did my job. And I love you guys. God bless you. Yes, Brother Jay. God bless you.
Kept calling my name. I thought, well, you're going to get what you asked for. No, I'm happy to be here. You know, I appreciate the body and the prayers and the brothers preaching. I loved it. Loved every minute of it.
Give me 1 second. We'll get this.
I loved hearing the brothers preach, and I'm just add a little bit to it. But before that, I was looking to see if I had a quarter in my pocket. I was going to put it on the pulpit. I don't know if you guys ever been to a pool hall, but when you want to play next, you put your money on the table. Just saying that to you guys. So I'm putting my money on the table. I want to be at the next Open Wednesday. I'm putting myself in there. So I put my money on the table. So the next Wednesday, I'll be there. But tonight, I was just excited, you know, and thinking about even what Brother Warren said. And, you know, he was talking about even, you know, some of those examples of people that had to go through different circumstances. You know, it made me think about, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, you referenced those brothers. And let's go over there real quick in the book of Daniel. That's where you were at, Brother Warren, when you referenced those brothers. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, we all know that story. And how the king Nebuchadnezzar had basically said, anybody that praises another god is going to die. And they, you know, that was a tough decree by the king, so that was over there in chapter 3. But if you go down to chapter 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered us, because the king said, when we start this music up and we do these harps, you're going to dance and perform for my king.
Yeah.
And they looked at him. Now, it's just those three guys. They're by themselves. Circumstances are rough. The fire's already burning. They didn't start the fire. They had it ready for him. They looked at him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. I'm not coming to you like meekly. I know what I know. I know that God is with me. I know that he's going to take care of me. And see, that's the difference between somebody that knows that God's with them and somebody that hopes that God shows up. I don't come here hoping that God shows up. I know I'm bringing him with me. When you say where two or three are gathered, I know I'm one of them. So I know I'm bringing him with me. So if you say two or three and I see you and you know you got him, I know God's going to be here. I'm not looking around for the two or three others that may have God. I know I have God. I don't meekly approach Satan and tell him what he needs to do.
No.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, matter of fact, they said, we're not even going to be meek about this. I'm not going to be careful when I answer you. Here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to let you know, Satan, that even if I was to die in this fire, my God is still real. My God is still able to deliver me. So no matter what you do, no matter what may come, I'm going to be okay. They said, I know my God can deliver me. But even if he doesn't, see, that's the part that we forget. Even if he doesn't deliver me from whatever the circumstance is, whatever the calamity is, whatever the issue is, whatever the depression is, whatever, throw me whatever you want on there. Even if he doesn't deliver me on this side, he is still able to take care of me. So no, I'm not going to come in here sad. No, I'm not going to come in here down and defeated. I am more than a conqueror. And what I have on the inside of me is more than able to make it through whatever you got on the outside. Matter of fact, how much more do you think they believed God when they got out of the fire? How much stronger were they when they got out of the fire? How much more do you think I'm going to be preached now that I'm out of the hospital? How much more am I going to be grateful that I'm surrounded by not just clouds of witnesses, but actual people that I identify with? I can put a name on God. I can say, Pastor Moore, where you at? I can say, Doug Allen, where you at? That's real. I'm not up here hoping that God shows up. I'm not hoping that he whispers in a cloud. I'm not hoping that the leaves rustle. I'm not hoping that a light shines. I know where God is at, and he's real. See, that makes me turned on. That's a little different understanding. That's a little bit more authority. Now let's go over to what Brother Isaiah was talking about. Because that turned me on too. See, I'm happy to be back. It's good to see y'all. It's good to see y'all. Now, Brother Isaiah was talking about what happened over in Luke chapter 24. He was talking about how those two people were walking and their eyes was basically blinded. They couldn't see God. Isaiah referenced his testimony saying, hey, for 10 years he's been here, 8 of the years he pretty much wasted his time, couldn't see God. That's okay, though. Don't even let, see, Satan's a push me, pull me.
Come on.
You can say, oh, I haven't been doing enough. And Satan say, you're right. You can, he'll let you go that way. You can say, I'm doing enough for God. I don't need to do no more. He'll let you keep going that way. You'll think you're cutting the grass every Sunday and you're okay. No, you're not.
Nope.
You still got more to do.
Right.
You can only testify once a year and think, oh, no, I can't make it. No, you're not. You still got a new birth. You can still make it.
Yeah.
See, don't let Satan push or pull you. You've been here for 10 years. Praise God for 10 years.
Right.
Thank God he opened your eyes for the last two.
Yeah.
But thank God you've been here for 10 years. Because now guess what? Micah's got a better foundation. Vegas got a better foundation.
Yeah.
Your family's got a better salvation. Brother John's benefited from your 10 years of being here. That consistency is what we want to see.
Right.
See? Now what happened over in Luke chapter 24?
Yeah.
Keep reading. When they said, after Jesus left, they said, didn't our hearts burn when he started preaching to us? See, they started going back on what the word was saying. See, I can be walking with God and get all caught up in my circumstances. Like Brother Isaiah said, my calamities. I can get caught up in those things and go, oh man, I wish I knew this. Oh, I wish God did that. I could be sad about this, sad about that. But let the word come across. Let the word start matriculating down a little bit. Then I can say, didn't our hearts burn within when we left that service? Oh, I may have been blind a little bit. But thank God he opened my eyes. And you know what I love about even talking about Jesus? It just dawned on me a couple weeks ago that even Mary had to go to the upper room. See, it's not enough to start this thing. It's not enough to be in the middle of this thing. You got to go all the way to the end. All the way to the end. Oh, I can't just start off a good walk. I can't be in the middle of a good walk. The scripture says, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. See, because a lot of times people got a good start. Oh, they start off great. They run well. But see, when you, if you ain't never ran a long distance, and to me, long distance is the 400. I don't know if y'all know what that is. 400 is one time around a track. And that's typically like the max for a sprinter. But if you've never even ran the 400, you don't know how to pace yourself on that. Because you really can't go all out the whole way. You got some levels to this. You got to pace it a little bit. So that way when you hit that last stretch, you got what you need to pour it on. See, a lot of people don't know how to do that. They come in here and they start out testifying what they can live. They get up here and say, I'm ready to burn for Jesus. Don't even know where Jesus is at. I'm so turned on for this church. Ain't been done nothing yet for the church. Don't even have the right respect. Don't have the right reverence. Ain't even applying it. Don't come in here and over testify. Because you're burning yourself out. I've seen it happen time and time and time again. You'll hear somebody give such a loud testimony. You go, my goodness. 2 weeks into this thing and they already got it? Wow. And I don't even doubt it. See, here's the thing. If you come in here and you're testifying, like my brother back there came in and testified, said, I got a pink Bible, I'm ready for him to keep going. Go, 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 go. Pass the baton, brother. Keep going. Just don't out testify where you're at. Be honest. See, I'm dealing with stuff myself that God gave me a better appreciation on just being grateful. I'm grateful for my kids more than I ever was. I'm grateful for my wife more than I ever was. I'm grateful to be alive more than I ever was. She asked me a question the other day about something. I said, you know, and it was in this movie, this line. It said, you don't even know you're having a good day until a bad day shows up. And the problem with that is most of the time, nobody tells you that you're in the middle of a good day. Everybody knows when you're in the middle of a bad one. But you don't realize that you're in the middle of a good one until a bad one shows up. So I've resolved that as I recognize that it's not a bad one, I'm going to praise God for it. I'm going to praise him. I don't care what if it's just something normal. Oh, I get up and I got some breakfast. Praise God. I'm able to eat it. I can taste it. I can drink the water. I can sit down. I can sit up. I can breathe. Praise God. That's the best day ever. Yeah. And then when situations do come up, guess what? I've got a foundation of positive. I got some momentum moving so far forward. It's like Brother Isaiah saying, him, Beth, and John prayed in the morning. That's the momentum you need. When things start popping up, start praying a little bit earlier. Read your Bible and pray. That'll help get your mind right. So that way you don't focus on all the other stuff. See, they focused on the negative parts of the promises. That's what those brothers, they saw that there were promises. They said Jesus was a prophet. They focus on the promises, but Jesus was basically saying to them, didn't you read the whole book? Didn't you see he was supposed to do that? The lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Had he not died and been crucified, he wouldn't have been able to resurrect.
That's right.
Amen.
His resurrection is really what saved us. The crucifixion, they had crucifixions before, Brother Isaiah. That wasn't the first time they put a stick up. That wasn't the first time the Roman soldiers stuck somebody. They already had that together. They knew what that was going to do. They knew the suffocation that would happen. It was a brutal form of touchment. They knew all that part. But the part that they didn't know God was going to rip the veil from the top to the bottom. They didn't know that Jesus was really the Christ. They didn't know how he was going to save everything. Matter of fact, they were so blind to how Jesus was going to save it, they couldn't believe that a Savior would come from Nazareth. They were like, how can somebody be born in a manger and be the king of the Jews? See, they didn't understand it. They're always missing it. See, it's always hidden to them. But it's only been, we awaken to what all the mysteries were. It's no longer a mystery to us. God's not speaking in parables. It's not in thunders. Matter of fact, even Brother Branham said it. I love how he said it over. I even forget the book that he said it in, but he was there. ABCs, always believe Christ. He said you can apply that to everything. Every situation that you're going through, just go back to the Word of God. Go back to your ABCs. Now, you need your alphabet whenever you're spelling any word. I don't care if it's anencephalic, onomatopoeia, any big words you want, go back to your ABCs. You can sound it out. Put the consonants together. Put those together, and you'll get it out. That's what happens. When you go out here and they got on a limb, you're getting some problems, go back to your ABCs on how you get out. Go back and say, the Word says. The Word says I'm more than a conqueror. Even if you got an aught with a brother, go, but that's still my brother. Go back to the beginning of this thing. Go, that's my brother. I know God put him in my life for a reason. God's got him here to help me. How do we defeat Satan together?
Yes.
See, that gets you talking the right way.
Amen.
But if you let it, you go out there on those limbs, you start forgetting your foundation. Oh, yeah, you'll get messed up. You'll get tripped up. You'll get out on a limb that won't be able to hold you. But I love this thing. I love this truth. I love what your brothers had to say. I love hearing all you guys. But I had to put my quarter on the table. I see y'all playing and having a good old time. I want some of this too. So God bless you. I love you. Pastor Moore.
I think you put more than a quarter on the table. Now, why would we want this? Why would we want? Just think back. We had all this sitting here.
Come on.
Right under our nose. And letting God use one, two, or three people. This is a many-member body. Y'all will figure that out after a while. Excellent messages. All of them. And I love the fact that you could know about Jesus. And you could even feel sorry about Jesus. And you can lament of all that happened to him. And still be as blind as a bat.
Yep.
That's every church world.
Amen.
Remember what it says over in the Revelations? They're blind and don't even know it. It took Jesus himself. You're right, Jay. It was Jesus' job to open their eyes. He's the only one could do that. He's the only one could open your eyes. He's the only one. That's why he's here. He opens our eyes and let us see clearly what he's done. And my goodness, why wouldn't you want to serve a God like that? I just don't know. It gives you peace. It answers your problems, your questions. It gives you hope. When you feel like you got a problem and you can't go no further, God shows you there's always a way. There's always a. He said, I'll always make a way for you. You're never without a way out. You're never without a way out. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what your life's consisting of. I don't care where you've been, what you've suffered.
God will always make a way. You say, how do you know that? Because he promised he would. He promised he would. And he is true to his word. So if you need healing, his word says, by his stripes, I'm healed. You say, well, what if I pray and I don't get healed? You still get healed. We don't lose. The bride can never lose. That's why Paul said, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, I got another one. He said, I ain't even worried about this thing. He said, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. In other words, I walked this thing to the end. See, a lot of people, like you said, Jay, they don't go all the way. Oh, there's a lot of people start out. Everybody can't do what Elise does. But they want to. But so you got to work up to that. You don't just walk out here and run 10 miles. I know. You don't just do that. You got to work your way up to it. And this Christian walk is a walk. You learn, just like Jesus learned by the things that he suffered. You learn and I learn by the things that we suffer. But don't suffer and not learn nothing. That's just stupid. That's a waste of time. You, when you go through something, you get the gold out of it. I always say, get the gold out of it. If you're having a bad day, get the gold out of it. You got trouble in your life, get the gold out of it. Don't just go through it like, well, I'm just going through life. No, look for God. Find out, Lord, what am I supposed to learn out of this? Yeah. What are you trying to teach me? Did I pray for patience somewhere along the line and didn't know it? I might have been praying for understanding. I might have been praying for love for my brother. See, sometimes in order for you to love your brother, you got to have a situation where you won't want to love your brother. You got to overcome that. So sometimes you're going through things in life and you think this is just the devil. It ain't the devil. It's something you prayed about. Something you asked for. We always say, well, I'm not going to ask for patience, but did you ask to love your brethren? Hey, you got to put up something. So see, all these things are in here for our good. You want to be close to your spouse, then you're going to have to fight. Because you got to overcome something. It's easy to walk away from somebody. That's why most marriages end up in divorce, if they even get married, because nobody fights for nothing. But you say, well, I want to be close to my spouse. All right. See, it doesn't come the way we act. If we understood how we get things, we ask for a lot of things that we really don't want. But then once we get in the middle of it, we're like, why, Lord, why? And it's like, you asked for this. That's that, and the only one we know is patience. Oh, I ain't going to ask for patience. But you ask for a lot of other stuff that you go through. But that's you learn obedience by the things that you suffer. I told Courtney, I said, Jake coming out of this thing, he's going to be a different man. He's going to be the same. You can't go through what you've been through and be the same. None of us can. I mean, we learn. God deals with us. He moves us. And you look at things from a different perspective. On the outside, on the other side of a trial, you look at things differently. When those guys are walking on that road to Emmaus and Jesus come walking up and they talk to him and Jesus revealed himself to them, they were never the same. They were never the same. You know, they weren't right. You know what Jesus told them to do. I got an upper room down in Jerusalem that I'm going to be talking to my guys about going there. And I want you two guys to go down to that little upper room. And you'll be endued with power. I mean, that was Jesus' job. He was pointing. He talked to all 120 and got every one of them in the upper room. And when they got in that upper room, including Mary, because Mary needed the Holy Ghost like everybody else. Contrary to popular belief, she was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Jesus wasn't her only child. So she had to go to the upper room like everybody else. And she had to meet the same redemptive glory of God like everybody else. That's why none of us are exempt. Nobody's sitting here saying, well, I don't need it. Oh, you do need it. How badly we need God. But he's a mighty God. He's going to give us everything we need. All we got to do is just lean in on him. Just lean in a little bit. Don't just stand there. Have a desire. Just, Lord, I want to be closer. Lord, I want to know more about you. Or don't watch what you ask. It's like a mirror. I can never use a mirror. I try to do something in a mirror, and it always backwards, and I almost poke my eye out trying to do something. And that's how it is with us dealing with God. It's a mirror. And we think it's going to come on this side, and it comes on that side, and we think it's over here, and it's over there. God knows what he's doing, but we don't. We just ask for stuff because we ask for stuff. But then when we see what it costs to get it, you know, yeah, no. But no, keep asking. No, because the thing about the bride, no matter what it cost us, we're going to do it. Amen. We're going to endure to the end. Because those are the same ones going to be saved. Amen. Nobody else is going to be saved. They're not going to go all the way. But I am bound and determined to go all the way with this thing. I won't turn to the left. I won't turn to the right. I definitely won't turn back. No turning back. I've come too far for that. I'm pressing, as Paul said, towards that mark of the high calling. And no matter what it costs, no matter what it takes, I'm going to pay it. Amen. You say, but you don't have what it takes to pay it. He'll give me the money. He'll provide. He had to pay taxes. Go down and go fishing. He had to feed 4,000 or 5,000. Said, go get the fishes and loads of bread. I'll take care of that. Went to a wedding and ran out of wine. He said, give me some water. I'll fix this problem. He always provides. Yes. So if you are his, which you are, yes, then everything you need, God's going to provide for you. And you're never going to be short. You're never going to run short. You'll never be left wanting something that you can't get a hold of. Because he said, I'll supply all your needs. That's the kind of God we serve. Come on, musicians. What a mighty God we serve. Now, another announcement that they didn't announce, I don't think, is we're not having music practice tomorrow night.
Right.
So Music practice is canceled for tomorrow. Remember, Tina and Jamie. Jamie had his back surgery, and he's come through it. But, you know, it hurts when you're recovering. Pray that God will help him get back on his feet. Pray for that family. They've got things they're going through. Remember the Earlys? They're shouting the house down because the hurricane didn't come. She called me the other day. She texted me and said, pray that the hurricane doesn't come our way. Yeah. Well, we did. And it didn't. But then she started feeling bad because it went up north and somebody else got it. God protected. He answered her prayers. So remember them, and they've got some surgeries and things they're going through, and just remember the bride around the world. Huh? Remember Kathleen. Amen. Just hold her right there. He's more than able to say. It's too late. God touched Mita on the operating table.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
He waited all the way. Now, he could have done it at home, but he waited all the way up till he got ready to touch her, and it disappeared. So we're not looking at a God that can't. We got a God that can. What a mighty God we serve. Good to see you, Brother Parnell. Good to have you here. Good to have y'all here. Clap for yourself, too. Don't forget, no practice tomorrow. Come back Sunday morning. No Bible study Sunday night. That's the other thing. Thank you, John. No Bible study Sunday night. It's a holiday. I forget. Because I'm not, working. So I don't have a holiday. I don't have a holiday anymore. So when I was asked about it, at first I thought, we can just go ahead and do it Sunday night. And I thought, wait a minute, Nate, no. They're working. It's a long weekend for them. It's not a long weekend for me. I don't have no holiday. It's just every day is every day. But so we're not going to do Bible. We're not doing Bible study Sunday night. And so we'll put that off a week. And you all have been coming and having good discussions. I've been enjoying you all. You all are doing some good things. So remember those other announcements. And I know the church picture's coming up too. So.
get ready for that. And if you can get here and can, do it. And if you need to get off work or something, to take your lunch or something, you know, talk to me. We'll get you. Usually I try to get it early because some people actually take half a day off work or something to come in, get the picture, and go to work. So, you know, we'll work things out. I'll probably try to be proud of the front of the service. Patsy? Oh, well, God. Yeah, God bless us. He's blessed her. Well, God bless Sister Patty. Really? Okay. If I don't have, well, text me his number to make sure I got it. I've got a number of his. I'll give him a call. And remember Brother Wesley and their family, because they're a close family. So, amen. Remember that too. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Come expecting. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, yes, what a mighty God we serve. For the angels, all of heaven and earth. Oh, what a mighty God. Jesus is the God. Oh, what a mighty God.